Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. If you're able, when you're ready, would you please stand for God's word? Leviticus 16, we'll begin our reading at verse 6. Hear now the words of God. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. Then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat in which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. But the goat in which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. Aaron shall present the bull as a sin offering for himself and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall kill the bull as a sin offering for himself. And he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of sweet incense, beaten small. And he shall bring it inside the veil, and put the incense and the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, so that he does not die. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat on the east side. And in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one may be in the tent of meeting from the time he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out and has made atonement for himself and for his house and for all the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleannesses of the people of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. And then would you turn over to 1 John chapter 4? 1 John chapter 4. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen. To the reading of God's word, let's pray. Father in heaven, there's lots of distractions from the week behind us, distractions from the week ahead. And then on top of that, we're hard of hearing. And our minds wander. And so we cry out to you, Lord, please help us now. Please help us to heed your word, not to blaspheme it. Help us to listen to it and to receive it and lay it up in our hearts. Help us to rejoice in Jesus Christ and for the lost, Lord, those who will not have him. Lord, cause their hearts of stone to be broken into pieces and give them faith to believe. Be exalted now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's night time. It's dark. Don't know how dark it was. Maybe the moon is out and there's only a partial darkness. But they're out in the fields where the shepherds, and they were watching their sheep. I've often wondered what they were doing at this time. You know, were they sort of dozing in and out? Were they just alert by themselves? Were they sitting around a campfire with the banter? I don't know. But all of a sudden, a light appears. And there's an angel, and the Bible tells us that they were filled with fear. And the angel speaks to them, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, a Savior." The angel comes and tells them of a Savior. Salvation. What does that mean? We talk about that all the time, don't we? We talk about salvation and a Savior has come. And this time of year, we talk about the Savior coming and he came to save us. But what does that mean? Save us? Save us from what? Save us to what? What is this salvation? And this week and the next 3 weeks, I wanted to think about that. I want to think about four words that flesh out what this means, salvation. This week, we're going to look at expiation. Next week, we're going to look at propitiation. The week after, we're going to look at reconciliation. And then Christmas Eve, we're going to look at redemption. Expiation, propitiation, reconciliation, and redemption, which are all just big, long, fancy words that make me look good. But first of all, let's talk about expiation. This week, we're going to talk about expiation. And if you're interested, the word in the Greek for expiation is hilasmos, hilasmos. Look again at our reading, 1 John 4, verse 9. "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the hilasmos for our sins." Now, the ESV, King James, maybe some other translations, translates that as propitiation. Now, propitiation is the word we're going to look at next week. Propitiation is the idea of appeasing, of turning away God's wrath. So God is propitiated. Jesus came, spoiler alert for next week, Jesus came to deal with the wrath of God. That's propitiation. Our sins aren't propitiated. God is propitiated. And so the word here in verse 10, helasmos, really should be, in my mind, translated expiated. Or if that's a fancy way of saying covered. And you can turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. I don't usually ask you to flick around, but I do want to show you this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Helaskestai is the same root as helasmos. And so Jesus came to expiate or to cover our sin, to cover our guilt. Jesus came to save us. How did he come to save us? What did he do? He came to expiate. He came to cover my sin and my guilt. Now, this word, helasmos or helaskestai, this reaches all the way back to Exodus and Leviticus. It corresponds to the Hebrew word kippur, which is, again, the idea of covering. Now, you know that God met with his people at that time at the Ark of the Covenant. That's where he met with his people, the Ark of the Covenant. And inside the Ark was what? It was the law. It was the Ten Commandments, the stone tablets, or rather, to be more accurate, it was the broken law in the Ark of the Covenant. The broken law that shouts out, Rob, you are guilty. The broken law that condemns me. But on the Ark of the Covenant was the kippur, or we call it a mercy seat. And some people refer to it as a lid. But it's not a lid. It's more than a lid. It's a covering. It's 112 centimeter long. I didn't translate it into inches. 112 centimeter long, pure gold covering that covers over this broken law that condemns us. And that's what Jesus came to do when he came to save us. It was to cover the law, or to put it better, to cover our guilt. Jesus is the cover. He came to cover my guilt. Think of the cross for a moment. Think of Jesus laying on the cross. Or think. Imagine someone was pointing a gun at someone you love, and their wrath rightly was about to be unleashed on someone you love. What would you do? You would stand in their way with your arms out to protect them, to take the wrath in their place. That's propitiation. But imagine someone you love and they're naked and they're wallowing in their own filth, their own shame, their own defilement. What would you do? You would stand in front of them. Don't look at it. You would cover them. You would cover their guilt and shame. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross, and that is expiation. He came to cover our nakedness and our uncleanness. But that's not the extent of his covering. I want you to look one more place, potentially one more place, maybe more. Romans chapter 3. Turn to Romans chapter 3. And this word is going to come up again. Again, it's translated propitiation. But we deal with propitiation next week. But I want you to see in Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Look at this. So speaking of Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation or a covering by his blood. I want you to know that, by the way, this originates with the Father. Notice that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. But the Father sent Christ Jesus, put him forward as a covering, as an expiation. But notice what it says, by his blood. We read in Leviticus chapter 16 about the day of covering, the day of atonement. And I want you to picture in your mind's eye the scene. So it's autumn, or you would say it's fall. And the high priest is there with the people, and he kills this bull, and we're not going to deal with the bull this morning, but he sacrifices the bull. But then there's these two goats. Okay, and I'll reverse the order. He takes one of the goats, and he places both his hands on the head of the goat, and he confesses the sins of the people. And what he's doing there is symbolically, he's transferring the sin of Israel to the goat. There you go. Take our sin. And someone then takes the goat and takes it east, out away from the people. Notice in the Bible, east, Adam and Eve went east out of the garden. It's always east, away from God. And that's what Jesus did. He took our sins to himself, bore them in his body. He was taken out of the city, and he took them away into the darkness, into the wilderness of God's wrath on the cross. Okay, so that's the second goat. Well, that's actually the first goat, but there's another goat. And the high priest takes this goat, and he slays it. And you can just imagine the blood spurting out. And he takes this goat and he takes his blood. And notice what it says in verse 15, Leviticus chapter 16. Listen to this. He shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did for the blood of the bull. What was that? Sprinkling it over the covering or the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. You see, Jesus is this gold cover, this covering that covers the broken law, but that's not good enough. That's not good enough. There needs to be more than that, because our sins need to be punished because God is righteous, and so there's got to be judgment. There's got to be punishment. There's got to be death. There's got to be blood. It must be a life for a life. And when the priest covered the covering with the blood of the goat, it's a cover that's also saying, and a life was given in order to cover this broken law. And that's so important, the blood. In the very next chapter, in Leviticus 17, it says in verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." There has to be a covering of blood. to show that a life has been given. You remember in Exodus, and there's the Passover, and the people of Israel have to kill this lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel to show we're covered. Someone has taken our place. The gold isn't good enough. There's got to be blood. There's got to be death. It's got to be a life for a life on top of the covering. And Jesus was slain on his cross altar. And his God blood. Splurted out, came out of his side, and ran down with the water. And it was a covering to show, yes, their guilt, the guilt of my people has been covered. He's the gold covering and he's the blood covering that covers all of our guilt. And so the angel appears to the shepherds and he says, a savior is here. What does he mean? He means the one who came to cover you and the one who came to pour out his blood to cover all your vileness and filthiness and rebellion against a holy God. That's the salvation, expiation. He is the covering of Leviticus 16. Now, I don't have headings, I don't use headings. But I do want to make some points of application. And the first thing I want to say to you is that you need to be covered by Christ. And you need to be covered by his blood. You are guilty. And you need to be covered. Of course, I think you knew that, didn't you? Adam and Eve, when they rebelled against God, they knew that they were naked and they knew that they need to be covered. And I think you know that your guilt needs to be covered, just like the broken tablet needed to be covered. You need to be covered, and your sin needs to be covered, and your guilt needs to be covered. I want you to think for a second of your guilt. I would imagine that there's people here this morning to varying degrees who lust. And Jesus, as you know, tells us in Matthew 5 that when we lust after someone, when we have that in our hearts, we're committing adultery in our hearts. When you undress someone, as it were, in your mind, you're just driving home the fact that you're naked and you need to be covered. And that's your guilt, that lust. There are people here this morning who may struggle with bitterness. Perhaps you're consumed, you're swallowed up for this bitterness towards someone, and you can't forgive them, you don't want to forgive them. And maybe it's your parents, or maybe it's even your spouse, and there's just this hatred or bitterness. Someone in your life, that's sin, that's guilt. There are people here this morning who perhaps are jealous. Jealous of other people, and you're always coveting things, and you're always looking for the next thing or the next circumstance to satisfy, and you're not thankful for God, and you're not satisfied in him. That's your guilt. That's your sin and guilt. There's people here this morning, perhaps, who are just completely apathetic towards God, neither hot nor cold. Yeah, God, but whatever. People here this morning who are unbelief. They will not have Christ, and they're rejecting him. All that is sin and guilt, and you know that you need coverage. It needs to be dealt with. You're guilty. And I'm saying to you this morning that God's righteousness demands that your sin be punished. And I'm telling you this morning that it will be punished. Your guilt will not go unpunished. Either you cry out to Christ as your covering. Cry out to him for his blood. Or the undiluted wrath and fury of God will be poured out upon you forever and ever and ever. You will go to hell. And I've heard people say that, you know, what's hell? It's just the absence of God. That's nonsense. It is the absence of God, but it's the concentrated unleashing of the righteousness and fury and torment of God forever. And there might be someone here this morning that says, well, nah, I don't believe all that, you know, hell and all that stuff. Well, I want to tell you that Jesus believes it. And Jesus believes that you need to be covered. And Jesus believes that if you're not covered, then the day will come when you scream out to be covered. And Luke chapter 23, and Jesus is beaten to a pulp. He's going up towards the skull, up towards Golgotha, naked and ashamed, and Simon had to be there to help him carry his cross. And there's women there and they're weeping. And listen to what Jesus says to them. He says, weep for yourselves and your children, for the day is coming when they'll say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Jesus believes a day, if you will not be covered by him, the day will come when you're crying out to the mountains to cover you. Revelation chapter 6 speaks again of the day of judgment. And it says this, then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us. Hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? If you reject Christ's expiation, then the day will come when you will scream out to be covered. And it'll be too late. And I'm saying to you this morning, don't be so foolish as to deny the day of judgment and to deny hell, because to deny hell is to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you deny the Lord Jesus Christ, you deny Christianity. And if you deny Christianity, then what do you have? You have nothing. You have no explanation for how you came into existence. You have no explanation for the purpose of your life. Your life doesn't have purpose. You have no basis to say that something is true or not true. You have no basis to say that something is right or wrong. You have no basis for anything. You have nothing. If you do not have Christ and you do not have his word, you have nothing. And the day will come, Jesus says, when you will know just how naked and how guilty and how stupid you are. and denying the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood. Will you not come to Christ? I know that you believe. I know that you believe in him. I know you do. Because you can't even open your eyes without being compelled to see his handiwork. You can't look at your body and the intelligent design of your body. You can't look at the ecosystem or the solar system without being forced to accept that someone must have made this. But even if you did close your eyes, God has made you, Paul tells us in Romans 1, with a God consciousness. You came out the factory knowing that he exists, and if you reject him, it's not that you're ignorant, you're just holding him down. You're suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. I know that you believe in the truth of this. And I'm asking this morning, why won't you come to Christ? Don't be stubborn. Don't be foolish. Uncover. Psalm 32 talks about uncovering our sin to God so that he can cover it for us. Jesus was naked on the cross that he might clothe you and cover you with his blood. Take cover. Have your guilt blotted out by the blood of God. God put forward Christ Jesus as an expiation, as a covering by his blood, Romans 3 says, to be received by faith. Take him. Take hold of him. Receive him by faith. Run to Jesus Christ and be covered. And so I say again, the angels appeared to the shepherds and said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day, born in the city of David, is the Savior, Christ the Lord. Take him. Take Christ and be covered." Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, our sin is a stench to you. We are a sinful people, a stiff-necked people, and we are rebels and we are treacherous towards you, and Lord, we're guilty. But we thank you for the coming of our Savior. We thank you for him who came to cover us and whose blood was pouring out on the cross altar, to blot it all out, to blot out our guilt and shame and uncleanness. We thank you for those of us here this morning who by your grace have received Christ by faith, have had our sins blotted out, who are cleansed, that we are whiter than snow, and all we have to do in light of the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is long for it and rejoice in it and look forward to it. Thank you that we're covered. But Lord, we plead with you this morning for those who are naked, for those who are dirty and stained and are wallowing in their guilt, have mercy. Cleanse them. Grant them repentance. Grant them faith to receive the one that they know is coming, but up until now will not have. Please grant that to them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.